I want to speak to you tonight for a few moments about praying through to the fullness of joy. If you go to John chapter 16, please, in the New Testament. John chapter 16. Praying through to the fullness of joy. John 16, one verse, verse 24. Jesus said these words, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy might be full." Now let me say it again. Hitherto, or that means up to this point, you've asked nothing in my name. And I see that in the context of, in the light of what I can do, you've really asked for nothing. Now, they had already asked several things to teach us to pray. There were theological questions they'd asked. There were practical issues that they'd made inquiry over. But he made a profound statement to his own disciples and subsequently to you and I today as the Church of Jesus Christ. Up to this time, you've asked nothing in my name. I wonder how much that applies to our generation. I wonder how much of what we've done, God looks down on it tonight and says, "You've asked, but you've not asked for what you really can have and really can become in me. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full." Now there's a full joy that Jesus Christ has for his church. It's a full joy. He said, "Ask that your joy might be full." Now, I don't know about you tonight, but I'm not willing to settle for less than that. If Jesus said I can have a full joy, then I want full joy. If he said there's something I can ask for that brings this full joy into my heart, then I want it. Even if I don't fully understand it at the moment, I want it. Now, think about for a moment the things that we have asked for, the things that you have asked for, the things that traditionally we ask for as the body of Jesus Christ. Now, obviously and initially, we ask for salvation. Now, salvation is an incredible thing. I don't know how many here tonight can remember the day you knew you were forgiven your sin, the day the joy of that forgiveness hit your heart. In my case, there was a lot of tears, but followed through with a lot of joy. I remember when it fully hit me that God loved me. And when it fully hit my heart that I was forgiven, that the list of wrongs I had done was washed away by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary, I cried for 3 days, folks. I couldn't stop crying. I remember I was in a Christian policeman's conference in Speculator, New York. I must have gone through 16 boxes of Kleenex in that conference. I just could not stop crying. I sat in my seat in a 3-day conference and cried for 3 days because it finally hit me as a brand new Christian that God loved me, that I had been saved because of Calvary. And the joy that was in my heart, the scripture speaks about it as being unspeakable and full of glory. The sense of being in right relationship with God, the understanding in my heart that I had a future, not just in time, but an eternal future with God. That death was no longer to be a feared thing. That to be absent from the body, as Paul says, is to be present with the Lord. That this was only the beginning of eternity, forever. And that there was nothing to fear in this life because I was now in the hand of God. And Jesus himself said, "You have placed you in the Father's hand and nobody can take you out of my Father's hand." That means not time or circumstance or opposition. I was in the hand of God. And I remember those early years of going. I remember one specific experience. I was a brand new Christian. I was invited by some friends to a church, a rather large church. And I couldn't figure out what happened to these people. Did they not know what I know? Where did their joy go? And I remember I couldn't wait for the service to be over so I could praise God in that place. And when finally the service was over, the preaching was done, the choir left the loft, the people left the church, I stayed. My wife and I, Pastor Teresa and our friends, I stayed in the church and I literally went up and down the aisles and I started singing. There's nobody there anymore, so I could actually finally now sing. And I began to say, "He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." I sang it at the top of my lungs. But what a tragedy to have to wait for the church to leave so you can worship God. And I remember thinking, what happened to these people? What happened? How come there's no joy left? You remember David, the psalmist, lost that joy at one point. And in Psalm 51:12, he said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. What happened? I think people try to set up camp in this initial place of joy without pressing through. Remember, it was pressing through to the fullness of joy is the title of the message. And they don't try to press through to where God would have them to go. And when we don't press beyond that initial experience in God, a dryness comes. I remember as a young Christian, I watched this one particular parachurch men's organization who had an incredible encounter with God quite a few years ago, and were really becoming an evangelistic tool and a great blessing. But many of the men in that organization, they tried to camp around the experience of their salvation. And what really happened is you had men 15 or more years in the Lord who's still trying to relive those euphoric moments of that first love. And they ended up looking rather foolish. It's a sad thing to say. They're dancing around like they're new babes, but they're not anymore. There's a point in life where you have to move beyond kindergarten songs. You've got to go beyond. It's like if people had a reunion and it was like a grade one reunion. And they all went back to grade one and to the original classrooms and tried to fit behind that original desk and relive the moment. And it would look so foolish, wouldn't it? If you're in your 40s and 50s and you're trying now to be 6 years old again, it just doesn't work. But that's what people do. They camp around that initial experience and try to stay there and live there. And there was joy there. There is joy in the fact that we are saved. But you and I can't camp there. And every church I've ever known that tries to camp there goes dry in the long run. Because the Lord says, no, I want you to ask for something deeper. I want you to press through. I want you to go farther than just the experience of your salvation. Amen. We also pray along this journey for freedom and for provision. We read in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus said, I've been sent to the poor. I've been sent to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to give sight to the spiritually blind and to set at liberty those that are bruised. And we become aware that we need freedom. We become aware of the fact that Christ did die for us to be not only saved, but free from oppression, free from torment, free from the wounds of the past. And we press through. We begin to ask. I ask God to set me free from 9 years of panic attacks, 9 years of literal hell on earth, as far as I'm concerned anyway. And in a moment of time, he set me free. In a moment of time, I literally did walk out of a long-standing prison, walked into the freedom that God offers to those that are his. And if you're here tonight and you're struggling and suffering, you can be free. You need to know that. You can walk away from bruises of the past. You do not have to be hammered by the devil every night and every morning because of past experiences and past wounds in your life. You can be absolutely free from these things. You can be free from captivity, whether it's physical addictions, whether it's mental addiction. You can be free from these things. You can walk away because that is the promise of God in Christ. And so now we not only ask for salvation, but we ask for our freedom. And it's Christ's delight to set you free, to set his people free. And as we begin to study this book, the promises of God come into view where he says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And we do become that new creation that the Bible promises we will be. It's an amazing thing. And there's incredible joy in that freedom. We seek for the provision of God. We begin to realize that the Lord promises us that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that everything we need will be added to us. And we rightly seek for provision. There's nothing wrong with that. Every person here, you need to have the resources to eat, to have clothing. And it's not wrong for these things. To ask for a place to shelter your family, to ask for the ability to give your children an education. There's nothing wrong with these things. And it's God's delight to give these things when the situations are applicable to his children. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 12 just for a moment in the context of praying for freedom and provision. In Acts chapter 12, the Apostle Peter was in prison. And he was in prison because it was a very anti-God moment in that society. And the powers that be were starting to garner some delight in oppressing those that were bringing the gospel to their society. And in chapter 12, verses 5 to 10, it says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, it's in the context of freedom and provision I'm speaking. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Now, prayer was being made for his freedom. And God sent a message to him, or a messenger, that smote him on the side. I love the practicality of God, don't you? It's as if God comes to you tonight and says, Hey, this is for you. You know, hey, what? Who is it that's hitting me on the side? Peter must have wondered, who is hitting me? It's an angel. I mean, it's, hey, get up. It's just very practical. And the angel said to him, Gird yourself, put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said, put this garment on you and follow me. So there's freedom from captivity. There's provision given him. He's given a garment. He's given shoes. He's given the things that he needs. And it says he went out and followed him. And he wist not that it was true. Or he thought this has got to be a vision, which was done by the angel. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leads out of the city, which opened of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through the street. And as he's given this freedom and he's given this provision, it says the angel of the Lord departed from him. And folks, it speaks of a further drawing to me. A lot of people just camp around freedom and provision. Have you ever noticed that? Some camp around salvation, but others build camps around freedom. And they spend years getting delivered from things. They attend deliverance seminars. They go to deliverance churches. They buy deliverance tapes. And when they run out of things to be delivered from, they invent things to be delivered from. And their whole, and they end, actually in the long run end up more bound than they were in the beginning, because they walk around constantly afraid that some new demonic thing is going to get a hold of them, because they've camped in one camp becomes dry and the other becomes fearful, and they're constantly going to meetings to come to an altar and throw up because they're getting delivered of some new thing. And some of you here, you've known what I'm talking about. I've seen these places and the absolute insanity of it all, really, when you think of it. And then there's others that camp around provision. God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to be wealthy. God wants us to be wise. God wants us to be happy. So they build a camp around provision. And everything in the scriptures is around provision. Provision. And all of a sudden, this is just a gold digger's map. That's what the Bible becomes to them. And anything that deals with sacrifice is more or less put away. And everything that deals with gold is just comes into view. And it's another camp. And that camp leads to just a bankruptcy, really, because it's a seeking of the wrong thing. And the irony of it is, while they profess themselves to be getting rich, they're actually getting poorer by the hour. And to the point where they get to the end, and there's an emptiness inside. Dryness, just focusing on their own salvation. A fearfulness, focusing on their own deliverance. A bankruptcy, in a sense, spiritually, focusing on their own provision. But then it says about Peter in verse 17, he beckoned to the people at the place that were praying for him. And he says he told them to hold their peace. And he told them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. He departed. He didn't stay there. He didn't camp there. He didn't create a theological place around his division, his deliverance and provision. And he could have. I mean, he had a miracle. He could have talked about it for the rest of his ministry. How many people had an angel come to them in prison and give them shoes and a garment, open the gate, let them out? But it says he left them there and said, tell them what God has done for me. And he departed and went in to another place. Now that place is clearly defined that he went to in John 21, 18. Remember, Jesus appeared to Peter on the shore. And he said to Peter, when you were a young man, he said, you dressed yourself, you formed your own plans, you went where you wanted to go. But when you get older, he says, you're going to stretch out your hands. And he said, you're going to be led into places that you would rather not go. And might I dare say, there are places that we can't go or don't want to go. And we certainly can't go there in our own strength. And the Lord said, Peter, you're going to be drawn, because he's not a man who's going to sit still. He was not going to camper on his salvation. He's not going to stop and just continually try to relive the story of his freedom and the provision that God brought into his life. But he was going to be led of the Holy Spirit into something deeper, into something that brings what Jesus described as a fullness of joy. Remember, up to this point, you've not asked me for anything. He said, ask now and your joy will be full. We're talking about a full joy. We're talking about a joy that can't be taken away. We're talking about a joy that is not dependent on your circumstance or my circumstance. We're talking about a joy that is not imparted to you through any ministry, through any man, through any place. It's something that God does inside of those that are his. I believe it's a place where you and I become one with the heart of God for others. I'm going to show you what kind of prayer he's talking about. Now go to Luke chapter 11, please, with me. We're going to see this whole thing just outlaid in one passage of Scripture. Everything I've been talking about. Luke chapter 11. Now, this is about prayer. His disciples have said to Jesus, teach us how to pray. He said, okay, verse 2. When you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. Luke 11, 2. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so in the earth. So he gives them the big picture in verse 1. God is all majesties in him. His ways are right. And what we should be asking for at the end of our journey is that the ways of God become our ways. Your kingdom come. Remember, Jesus said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Lord Jesus, what it is that you want my life to be, or you want to do through me, let that come. Don't let there be a hindrance to that. Don't let me stop on the journey to becoming the man or the woman of God that you want me to be. Don't let me camp in any of these dry places. Don't let me be sidelined. Don't let me be sidetracked, oh God. Help me to go through to that place that you say is a place where I pray and your responses to my prayer bring to me a fullness of joy. Now look how prayer starts. Give us day by day our daily bread. Look, it's a personal thing. Remember, we talked about provision. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Now, it's in the initial stages of prayer, it's all about us. And God understands that. I was not overly concerned about other people when I first got saved. I don't know about you. I didn't even like other people. I mean, it's just, I'm being honest with you. I didn't. I mean, that had to happen over time. I mean, I was in this for myself in the beginning. I'd be honest with you. I mean, it was all about me. And it's exactly the same with you. I have no doubt about that. I mean, you just don't have the wherewithal to think about other people in the beginning. You just got so much baggage. There's just so many chains. There's so much torment. There's so much pain. I just didn't have the time to think about other people. Every prayer was, Jesus, please, help me. Give me. Lead me. Forgive me. Deliver me. Every service I went to, every altar call I answered, it wasn't about you, it was about me. Help me. And it's honest. That's the way it starts. It's like a child, because when a child is born, how many 2-year-olds walk into the kitchen, good morning, mother, father, God bless you, how can I serve you today? Please dress me quickly, I've got to get to daycare, I'm ministering to the other children. Well, it doesn't work that way, does it? Just give me that. That's mine. And we're like that. We are babes in Christ. And God doesn't despise that. There's a growth process when we get saved. And there's nothing wrong. And many of you are there right now. You're young in the Lord. And God understands you. You say, I'd love to even think about Burundi or Haiti. But listen, I got Burundi in my heart. I got Haiti in my heart. Like, I got to get victory here before I even think about going there. And that's reasonable. But I want you to know that you can go so far beyond your own struggles. There's something that God can do if you will not stop short. So here's how we begin to pray. We start by acknowledging that we need the kingdom of God within us. But then our prayers become, give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. It's all about us. But then he takes it another step further. In verse 5, he said, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Now, that's incredible. This is prayer at its culmination. This is prayer that brings us to that place of the fullness of joy that Jesus spoke about. When we're no longer focused solely on ourselves, but we're going to the throne of God and we say, God, listen, it's dark out there. And there are people around that need provision. They need encouragement. They need healing. They need God. They need what only you can do. And I don't have what it takes right now, but I know you do. And I'm asking you to give me these 3 loaves. And that speaks to me of the Trinity, really. It speaks to me of all that God is and all you intended to be in me as God and what you intend my life to be. I'm coming to your throne and Lord, I want to be given for other people. And I'm asking you to flow through me that they might be fed. It's midnight. It's dark. They're hungry. This man, this woman, this friend has come to my house and I don't have anything to set before him. And Jesus said, the man might say, trouble me not, for the door is now shut and my children are with me in bed and I cannot rise and give you. But he said, I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he'll rise and give him as much as he needs. And the word importunity means just simply recklessness. Because of his insistence, because he just says, I'm not going away until you give me what I need to feed my friend. I'm not going away. I'm not going away, God, until your love is formed in my heart. I'm not going away until you take the selfishness out of me and help me, God, to, in the power of the Holy Ghost, to become an extended hand of heaven to those who need to know that God loves them. I'm not going away until you do this in my life. And Jesus said, and I say to you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine the joy of this man coming with these 3 loaves to his friend at midnight and saying, look at what I've gotten for you from the Lord. It's not for me, it's for you. I got this for you. I got this love in my heart for you. You see, I got this freedom to tell you what God can do for you. I've got this perseverance to come to your house or to come to where you are or to sit where you sit or to listen to what you have to say. Because God loves you, and he loves you through me. He's given me his heart. See, that's what Jesus meant when he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, is the beginning of our prayer. And that's what Jesus meant when he said that your joy might be full. That finally it's not joy about my circumstance, joy about my own freedom, joy even about my own salvation. But it's the joy that's in heaven when one sinner comes to Christ. It's a joy that's deeper than anything that you will ever know in this world. Do you know when you lead a soul to Christ? The Bible said, Jesus said, the angels in heaven begin to rejoice. There's a joy in heaven. And the angels, I believe, rejoice because they are fully attuned to the heart of God. They know what's in the mind of Christ. This fullness of joy comes when you and I are walking with one mind and one heart with the Son of God, who came into this world to save that which was lost, whose chiefest joy is that those even with the hearts of children would have the kingdom of heaven revealed to them, whose joy was touching people in society that nobody else considered worthwhile. You might say he was downwardly mobile. How many people use the cross to try to become upwardly mobile? And yet the Savior was downwardly mobile, stooping down, reaching people that nobody cared about. The woman in the dust, with the religious crowd with the stones in their hand, the leper that had to walk around saying, "Unclean, unclean," and nobody would even go near him. Not scholars of the scripture, but ignorant fishermen. If God can get this in our hearts, the chiefest joy, the lasting joy, is that you and I be given for other people. How the devil has tried to rob the church of this truth in our generation. How he has distorted it. How he has put angels of light, even in pulpits, to divert the church of Jesus Christ from this truth. That the greatest joy that you and I can ever experience is that we are given in the power of God for other people. That's where the miraculous begins to happen, folks. What you saw in a video tonight, that was miraculous. I have seen the power of God come down. Trenchtown in Jamaica was a community of 100,000 100% unemployed people, controlled by 6 drug gangs. The government plowed down a plot of land, and they called it no man's land, creating a boundary between the 6 gangs and the 6 divisions in that area. And they said, no man crosses this land. They tried to create a buffer zone, actually, to stop the war in the area. In 30 years, there were 800 recorded murders on that piece of land by the Jamaican government. And they said there are countless others that are not recorded. It was a fearful place. We saw God come down and bring an entire community under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. A lady in this church who's 84 years of age led 58 people to Christ. Names, addresses, people with guns were coming to Christ. Everybody was weeping. Not just in the services, but during the day. Everybody you spoke to started to weep. I had hired a mercenary soldier to help with security and to visit the 6 drug lords so that they would not kill our people when we went into the area. And that's a reality. We had to do that. He told us, he said, "You guys are absolutely nuts." That was his words. He said, "You are absolutely nuts." He said, "I've been here 13 years in this area." He was like a one-man Rambo. And he said, "Nobody's coming to this thing. You guys are nuts." He said, you mean well, but he said, "You..." And he kept saying it to me, "You're nuts, you know?" And after the second night, he was driving me home. He said, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it." He had seen the power of God. I said, "Now, are you willing to believe? Are you willing?" I asked him to give your life to Christ. He said, "Well, I have to go home and talk to my wife about this." He wasn't as tough as he thought he was, eh? Do we have the courage? Do we have the courage to press through and go farther? It's really your choice. The Lord Jesus Christ is an absolute gentleman. He stands at the door and he knocks. But do we have the courage to go beyond the casual, cold, self-seeking, normative Christianity of our day? Do we have the courage to go deeper? Do we have the courage to go farther? Do we have the courage to say, "Lord Jesus, not my will, but thine be done"? Do we have the courage to pray a simple prayer? Say, "God, let your love that sent you to Calvary be in my heart." If you do reside in this body, it's possible for you to give this to me. Would you give me the measure of love that I need? Would you help me to love my generation? Would you clear up my vision? Would you clear up my heart? Would you give me the power that I need? Would you give me that fullness of joy? It's a difficult call because it's going to cost something to walk this path. This path doesn't come easy, but I want to tell you, you're delivered from the whole Christian circus when you start walking this path. You don't need anybody around you to tell you who God is. You know who He is. I'd like to give an altar call. It's for those tonight who have said, I've heard you, Lord. I've heard something in my heart, and I'm going to press through. I want to open the front of this church. If that's in your heart tonight, and you want to press through to what you've heard, as we stand, I'm going to ask you just to come to the front of this church, and we'll pray together, and we're going to believe God together to do this. Let's stand together. Balcony, annex, edge, main sanctuary. The Lord's drawing you. Just come. Just come. Don't be ashamed. Just come. We're going to pray together. And you've got to believe that God's going to answer you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To be given for other people. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, O God. Let's worship for a moment. Just give people a chance to respond, then we'll pray together. Now, what you heard preached tonight is not new. It's all through the Scriptures. It's been clear from the beginning. It just got obscured, I think, in our generation. But listen to what the Lord said through the prophet Isaiah. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, and you bring the poor that are cast out to your house? And when you see the naked, you cover him, and don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light will break forth as the morning, and your health will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rearward, or means your will be your. God says, I'll literally scoop you up in my arms. If you draw out your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light will rise in obscurity, and even your darkness will be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and make fat your bones, and you'll be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. The fullness of joy, the fullness of joy. The only prayer that the Lord is looking from your heart tonight is, Lord, I will not draw back from what I heard tonight. I will not draw back. God, you lead me. You show me. It starts with somebody crying on a park bench somewhere. And instead of passing by, you stop. And you don't have to throw the whole Bible at them. You just tell them God loves them. And pray for just a moment. That's where it starts. It starts by hearing that some kid has no lunch for school, and you make him one. That's how it starts. And it will grow from there. You'll end up in another country. You'll end up doing things you never dreamed were possible. And your joy will be full. It's a joy that is not taken away. I've been a Christian 33 years, I guess, now. I love God more than I ever have in my life. I feel more of a compassion than I've ever known. There's a joy that God says, I want to give. It's full. It's full. Father, I do pray, Lord, for those that are at this altar tonight. I pray for this church, Lord, and for the churches that would be represented here tonight. God, would you help us, Jesus Christ, to hear these words? Would you help us, Lord, to put aside all of the places we've camped, and to go through to that final moment, Lord, where we are released to the purposes that you have for us in the earth. Your ministry, Lord Jesus, was always all about people. It's not about anything else, Lord. It's all about other people. Help us to understand this, to move in it. Help this church, God, to retain it. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the people here tonight will not draw back. They will not. This is a life-changing moment for many. I can see it on their faces. I can feel it in their hearts. It's a life-changing moment. And God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for this, Father, with everything that's in me. Now, would you take a moment and just talk to the Lord, those that have come to the altar and in the saint, just lift your hearts, your hands if necessary, and just talk to the Lord now. Just please do that. Just talk to God. Tell him the thoughts of your heart tonight. Tell him how you feel about what you've heard. Tell him where you want him to take you. Just tell him. But you're asking for a deeper reason than you've ever known before. God, give to me that I may have to give to others. I come to you, Lord, tonight. This is a very, very dark hour. And it requires more than anything I could ever bring out of this natural body. Lord, I need those three loaves, Lord. I need the love of the Father. I need the dedication of the Son. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I need everything, Lord, that you have for me to be of any effect in this generation. I ask you, Lord, for an increased tenderness. I ask you, God, for words of knowledge. I ask you for giftings of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, God, for the power to dig into your word and go deeper than I've ever known before. I ask you for the courage to never say no to you, Lord, no matter what you ask me to do, that I would have the courage to say yes, Lord. I'm asking God for the power to make a difference in this generation. Lord, this is a dark time, but no darkness can resist you, for you're the God in the beginning who said to the darkness, let there be light, and light came. Lord, nothing can resist you. Nothing, Lord, can stop you when you've determined to do something. We yield ourselves, Lord, to you tonight as a church, as a body, as a people, Lord, as individuals. We yield ourselves to you, Lord, and ask you to be God in us and be God through us, Lord. Help us not to hide from humanity any longer and from the needs around us. Help us, God, to not close our door, but open our door, Lord, to the stranger, to the ones with questions and ones who need to know who you are. Father, let the provision of heaven be released through us, God. And Father, we thank you for this, God. We praise you for this tonight. We bless you, Lord, for this. We bless your holy name tonight. We thank you, God. I thank you for lives that are being changed tonight. They'll never be the same again. I thank you for missionaries being born this very moment at this altar, giftings of the Holy Spirit being given, visions, oh God, of what you can do through a surrendered heart being released, Lord, into all of us, oh God. I thank you, Lord, for the unlocking of your word, God, leading us, God, into the fullness of what you have intended us to be in Christ. Oh, Jesus, set your church free, God, from all the entrapments of this age. All the things that have been brought to her, Lord. Jesus Christ, deliver your bride, not just in New York City, but all over the world. Deliver your bride, God, from all the traps of this hour, Lord, all the places, God, that she's been snared in and encamped in, Lord. Deliver your church to be your church, Lord, in this generation. God, we cry out to you tonight, Lord. Deliver your church in New York City, God, from all the despair, all the distraction, all of the deception, Lord. Deliver your church, Jesus Christ Almighty. We call out to you, mighty God. Set your body free. Set your bride free, Lord. God, have a people in this city, in this hour we're living in, Lord. We thank you for it, God. We thank you. Encourage the pastors that are here tonight. God, I lift up my fellow ministers before you. Empower us with the Holy Ghost. Give us a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit. Give us courage, Lord, to face what we have to face and speak what we're called to speak, oh God. Father, we thank you for this. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Now give God praise tonight. Give him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just say it with me. I'll never be the same again. Say it again. I'll never be the same again. Never, 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 never. I'm not going back. I'm going forward. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let it get deep into your heart tonight. I'm going forward in God. I'm not stopping. Hallelujah. Until this old body draws its last breath, I'm not stopping. Say that. Say it and mean it and know it. Hallelujah. Let's go with a song of praise tonight. We've got to sing one more song of praise and give God glory. Be encouraged tonight. The Lord will not fail you. He will not forsake you. God bless you.